Father, as we open the Word, we pray that it would transform us. We thank you, Jesus, for the life you've given us. We ask today that you would open our eyes, Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see what you see, to be able to feel what you feel and allow hope to rise up in our heart of what you're doing in the middle of our story and what you're leading us into. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, so we have been on a series called Death to Life. And the idea of this series has been, what would it look like if we lived fully alive? Fully alive in Jesus. Not just kind of walking through life, not just pacing through our days, but alive to the possibilities that Jesus can move and break in at any moment in our life. That he is concerned about the things that concern you. The Word says he wants to perfect, he wants to complete the things that concern you. What would it mean for us to be awakened to those realities? And because Jesus conquered death and he is alive, it means that those who put their faith in Jesus, that we now pass from death, from darkness into light, that we get seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that we become new, that we become whole in Jesus. So therefore, we can move from death to life. But today, we're kind of speaking to a little bit of a different angle on this. And we've been going through, what does it mean of having this new life? And what's this new purpose that God gives us? So you missed that. That was last week. And as we come into today, we're taking kind of a different angle on that purpose. And we're really talking about kind of this new heart and this new hope that we have. That there is a new heart that actually we get in Christ. And that there's a new hope that we have in life. Meaning in this life, and hear me on this. If there's anything you remember today, I want you to remember this. In this life, in Jesus, there is hope both in our future and in our present. Let me just let that sit for a second. Today, as you sit, there is hope that Jesus can and will show up in the middle of your life, in the middle of what's going on, and not only now, it says our eternity is secure. So our hope is this settled confidence in a certain future. Because we know what our future is. But we've surrendered to Christ, it means that we're with him. That we get seated with him, we get to spend eternity with him. So how does that then dictate how we live our life now? If you know what your future is, if you already know the end, then that should probably change the way we live today, right? But the danger is what happens is that we will start to live life as if we don't know what's coming up in the future. So we can start to get kind of aimless in here. So there was a time back when I was lived in Nashville, and I was doing stuff in kind of the music industry. I feel like everyone in Nashville is in the music industry, and typically your Starbucks barista has more talent in their pinky than you do. It's very true. And so there'd be like, it was a time, this is not the story, I'm just adding this one on for fun. But I remember going to this grocery store, because it was a songwriter night, and they were playing, and this guy's talking, and hey, no hate on the coveralls, but the guy was rocking the coveralls, and he was wearing it, and he's just playing, and I'm like, this guy's like really, really talented. He's not really a singer, but man, his songs he's writing. He's like, and he's just talking. And he's like, yeah, and it's just, we're in a grocery store, okay? It's like old school hardware grocery store, and there's like 12 people in there, and he's playing, and he just is like, yeah, and I wrote this song, and I wrote this song, and I wrote this song. I'm like, those are the last three number one songs on the country charts, like right now. That's just Nashville. And it's like, just a guy walks up, he's like, how you doing? And you just would never know. But I was not of that caliber. I was probably in the lower grounds, you know, so I'm working in that industry, and I was doing music, and there was a time where I had been traveling, and I was with this one specific kind of group, and what happened was I got towards the end of that, and I felt like there was a shift, like there was a transition coming. And I knew it was coming, and so what does every good kind of musician do? You sit down with your bands, with your bandmates around a table at Waffle House. Can I get an amen for Waffle House? Where Jesus moves, scattered, smothered, covered. Come on, people, what's wrong? You got to understand Waffle House. This is important. So I'm sitting down with my friends, and we're eating some waffles, and this is like 2 a.m. And I remember telling them, hey, this is what's going on. I feel like it's time for me to kind of move on here. And I know transitions are hard because we don't exactly know what's on the other side. And they're like, oh my goodness, what are you going to do? Like, we've got contractual obligations and you've got this. We've got some albums here and we've got to do this and this. And this is like life in the Nashville world. You jump into different bands and such. And anyway, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I know it doesn't make sense, but I just know right now that this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like, I don't know it. I know it kind of in my knower. That's a biblical term. You're knower, okay? And I just knew it. I've been praying and I've been asking God for wisdom. And I was like, this time has come and gone and I need to take this step of faith. And so they were like, well, this is going to go bad because you can't, like, do any other thing. You won't be able to join any other music. You can't write any other songs. Like, that's what your contract says. And I said, I know it doesn't make any sense. I just feel like God is doing something, and it's going to require me to step out. You know, sometimes we have to risk looking ridiculous to see the miraculous happen. Is that true? And so when we step out in faith because God shows up, and as we do that, it begins to move in our heart. And I remember telling him, okay, I'm out. I made the phone calls, and everyone's freaking out, and what are we going to do? And then sure enough, like 2 days later, I was sitting at my house in Nashville, and despite all like the foreboding details of what was supposed to happen over my life, I was sitting there, and I got released from every single contract, every single thing. And I remember sitting there going, oh my goodness, if I would have done this in my own hands, or if I would have gone after what I thought I saw, I would probably still be kind of fumbling around in the dark. But when I simply went after what Jesus saw in the moment, when we ask for wisdom and revelation in the middle of that moment, God can show up, and it requires you to take a step. But before we take a step, sometimes we think like God wants us to walk out like 100 steps. You're going, no, he just wants you to take that next step in him. We get confused because we get this idea of hope, like, okay, well, I gotta be a mile down the road. And you're like, no. I just have to say, Jesus, what are you doing in the middle of this moment? What do you see? And I have to then take that step of faith and watch God move on behalf of his people. So there is this hope that we have, it says in Jesus, both for a future and for right now. So, but how do we get this hope? How do we have a heart full of hope? Because I feel like there's a lot of discouragement going around today. So why is it so hard for us, I would say, to have hope in certain situations? Right? Like, you may be like, yeah, I get this part. Like, that could be an easier, but what about the hard stuff? The reason why it's so difficult is because in that moment, we're not able to see the outcome, right? We don't know what will happen on the other side of the conversation. We don't know what will happen. It can cause confusion and doubt about our future. Maybe right now you're confused. Maybe you've come in today and there's confusion about your life. Maybe there's doubt in your life about what's coming up, the next steps in your life, what you believe is you're supposed to walk into. Maybe you're not sure what to do with this kid situation you're dealing with. Can I get an amen, parents? Like, you just don't know what to do with this child. Maybe the child's sitting beside you. You can poke him right now and just give him a little nudge and be like, I don't know what to do with you. That's going to help him. Maybe you don't know. Maybe it's a job transfer. Maybe it's something going on in a relationship that you're just like, oh my goodness. And we show up in our life. And what can happen is if we're not careful, we can feel like we're fumbling in the dark. And we can feel like we're grasping at straws, but that, the Bible has something to say about that today. It has something to say about that there is hope right now in this future, in this present, and I want to kind of get into this here. So can I just have a conversation with you today? Is that okay with you guys? I want to talk through some of this a little bit here, because even as I was working through some of this, as we get into the scripture here, like, I had to chew on this. I had to let it sit with me a little bit because I'm like, okay, I don't want to go too wide here. What are we really focusing in on here today? So I want to start in Ezekiel, actually, 11:9. And that's not our anchor text, but I just want to speak to this as a premise here. This was spoken by a man hundreds of years before Jesus came. It was a prophet that said, here's what is going to happen. This is what God promised he would do with his people. He says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. Meaning that there's a hardness that actually happens, this heart that was dead, right? This heart that did not feel. And that now, God said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And it continues in saying, I'm going to write that, my law on their hearts, my will, my ways. I'm going to show them how they're to walk, how they're to live. And it continues, and then we get to our anchor text here of Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. And I want to hit two different passages here as we're in this death to life series. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, it says, but God, right? Those huge words that just come searing, just striking right out into the darkness. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. We obviously have to start there. There is a love in which God loved you, which caused and motivated him to act. Love is not a feeling, it's based on an action. And the evidence of love is God's action towards us in Jesus. And it wasn't one action in Jesus. It means he wants to continually act and show up by the work of grace and his spirit in your life. And he continues and says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we talked about knowing in order to be alive, we have to realize that we're dead. And we have to realize that we were lost, we're broken without Jesus, no hope. But Jesus came to us in the middle. How cool is that? How amazing is that? He came to us in our brokenness, came to us in our deadness. When we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together. We get made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, meaning it wasn't of your works, it wasn't of your effort, it wasn't how hard you tried, it wasn't your performance. It was simply by the divine favor of God that he loved you, and by grace he saved you. By his gift, his work, not ours. This is the love of God. This is an ongoing, I love this dynamic of grace. Because what can happen is grace, we can feel like, well, maybe God's fickle. And sometimes I feel like God wants to show up and then he doesn't. And let me express what grace is. Grace isn't just this favor. It doesn't just work on your behalf. It's also a condition in which God leaves you in. And here's what I mean by that. I've used this illustration before. So let's just pretend, okay, that we're going into Hawaii. We're flying in, all right? And here's the deal. No one, whenever you're flying into a country, doesn't believe that whenever you fly in, that you're going to change like this environment that, oh my goodness, I showed up and the weather went sour and it's bad and all this stuff. The idea is that the constant environment of God's grace, it's like it's always sunny, like 5% chance of rain and like 30% humidity. Can I get an amen? Like it is an environment that God places you in. And now you are in this constant state of God working on your behalf, of showing up in your life. This is the essence of hope. It's hard for us to get this understanding that God wants to show up in our present and our future if we don't know that we are rooted in the favor of God, the grace of God, a God that loves you. Does that make sense? So this is the premise here to get into this type of passage. And it continues, and now I want to jump back a little bit earlier in Ephesians 1. And I want to focus in this morning on something of what does it mean, this new heart, this new hope. So we started as our anchor text, but let's focus in on Ephesians today. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, watch this, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know. Everybody say no. That you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Think about this. It says the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him found in him. And he wants to take the eyes of your heart, if you will. We think eyes sometimes with our eyes and our mind, how we see. But it actually says that in the scripture, that belief, that trust, it comes from the heart. To continually see what God sees, to open our eyes, to awaken them to the possibilities that God wants to continually give, revelation and wisdom in everything. Our eyes of our heart can be opened. Why? That we can know what is the hope to which he's called us to. And that hope has to do with our eternity and our present, right? There is a future reality and a present reality of hope working in us. He continues and says, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And I love this. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are all linked together. In this dynamic of hope, There's a power, an immeasurable greatness of God's power that wants to show up in your life. There is a greatness of his grace which you're rooted in, a favorable condition, the divine favor of God that's working on your behalf, that both now and in the future, God can come up in the middle of your circumstance, in the middle of the darkness, and bring light into this. Now, how do we do this? In this life, there's hope. How do we get hope? First, we have to look to Jesus. It always begins with him. In everything, we simply look to him. It's so easy to get our eyes off of that. And we want knowledge and wisdom. But it all comes, it says, in him. The knowledge of him. This is the beautiful part of the scripture here. Because hope and faith are linked. We put our hope in something, right? You put your faith in something. When someone says, well, I just have hope. You're like, hope in what? What does that mean? I just hope for hope's sake. That doesn't make any sense. That's not real. But if you're like, but what are you hoping? We hope for something, right? We hope in something. So our hope is only as good as its object. So many of us just have this hope. But what we can have, it says here, is that our hope is found in Jesus. So because of that, that means that our hope is secure. It actually says, and this isn't in the ones we're focusing on today. In Hebrews, it says there's a hope, this anchor to the soul that actually goes behind the veil, the hope that's found in Jesus. He secures your future for you. He secures it for you. And not only does he secure your future, he starts securing the things of your calling, and he wants to bring them into your life. But what does this mean about this heart? So Ezekiel says we've now been given out not this heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. But what does this heart mean? Anybody ever know that? Maybe you haven't been a Christian long, or you wouldn't confess and say that you're a Christian today. But there's an old song, old worship song, not that old, but it's called Open the Eyes of My Heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about, that song? Don't start singing it. Don't do it. But you know, right? And now it's in your head. You're welcome. So it's a song that keeps playing, and it's right. Like, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. And it's good, but I don't think it fully finishes the sentence. What happened when we put our faith, our hope, and confidence in Jesus? Here's what this word is trying to say. Light came flooding into our heart. It came flooding in. It illuminated everything. Our heart, which was dark towards Christ, our heart, which was dark, where we couldn't see, we couldn't feel, we couldn't see the things that God sees. We couldn't love the things that God loves. We couldn't feel the things that God feels. It says that when we actually put our faith, our confidence, our hope in Jesus, our trust in Jesus, light came rushing in, right out of the darkness into this marvelous light. 2 Corinthians says that he made light shine into your hearts at the face of Jesus. So now our premise is that our hearts can be lit up. Our hearts are awakened. Our hearts are alive. So here's what happens when you begin to look at this new heart to see. We couldn't see because Jesus is the one that gives us a new heart. Our hearts become illuminated. Here's the thing with light. When light comes in, everything gets clear, right? So last night, Bethany was right. She got home. We were traveling last week, and she got home later with the girls, and they got the kids down, and she went to bed, and I was finishing up some things, and so it was time to go to bed. And in our house, anybody have like dark spots in your house, like where you turn the lights off, it feels like you're in the middle of space and you can't see anything? Anybody write that? Right? Anybody busted a toe or a head because of that? Oh, just me? That's cool. So, I mean, the idea is last night I'm going in, and I was showing up at this in my room, and when you flip the light switch, okay, when you turn the lights off, you can't see anything. Like, I mean like nothing, right? So what ends up happening is that I start like, anybody, you know, you have a well-worn pattern whenever things are in the dark. You start feeling the walls, you start looking for the light switch, and you're like, there's a door right here. Here's the problem. They don't tell you when your kid leaves a Lego in the middle of the ground, and all of a sudden you step on it, and you're like, Jesus, take me home right now. You scream, you wake up, like, I'm telling you, I've grabbed my foot before, like, fallen against the wall. It's amazing that my family doesn't wake up, which is scary if we have a hurricane. So, I mean, I'm like, what's going on here? But what happens is we get patterns in the dark that are well-worn. They become ruts. And we start to go through the motions in our life. And what can happen is sometimes we're walking in the dark and we're thinking we're in the light. Sometimes we're just going through motions and doing what we've always done, but we're not simply actually going, well, I'm doing it just because it's rhythm, just because it's a feeling, just because I know where things are, so I'm kind of moving down in the direction. But here's what happens. When you flip the light on, everything gets clear. I think today that some of us, when we talk about our uncertainty and our confusion of what's going on in the middle of our situations, that we get sometimes lost and we start fumbling back in the dark. And what God is trying to say in this scripture right here is it says that the eyes of your heart can be illuminated. They can be open, meaning when light comes in, darkness goes. It's not a power struggle. It's a truth encounter. Like, the dark doesn't go, I'm not sure if I'm going to leave. Like, if we turn the lights off, you wouldn't see anything. And as soon as the lights come on, all the darkness goes. Jesus is saying that whenever you put your hope and faith in him, light comes flooding into your heart so that everything you see now is what he sees. He opens up our understanding so that we can actually become awake. We can become fully alive. But what does this have to do with hope? What does this mean for our hearts being awakened? It's pretty simple here. When light comes on, you can see everything clearly. Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. And he's saying that in your heart, and I have to stay in this text here. Sometimes I so desperately want to pull in all the other texts, but I want to do this text justice. That God is saying in the middle of what's going on in your life, that he desires in the knowledge of him, spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart can be opened up. You can actually become awake to the possibilities of what Jesus wants to do. So our hope is no longer, well, I just don't know what's happening. It means that you can literally look to Jesus, who is the light of the world, and he will show you every next step. I know it sounds wild, but this is what he's meaning here. This is what the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. It means that whatever you're dealing with right now, whatever situation's going on in your life, Jesus wants to turn the light switch on. He wants to show you what he sees. He wants you to see with your heart, to simply put your trust not in your hands, but in his. Not in your way, but in his. He's saying, you don't have that old heart anymore that was of stone. You now have a heart that is sensitive towards me. You can walk my way. You can do the things that I've called you to do. It's a wild concept. But one of the new things that we get to see with our heart is our future. And why does that matter to us today? When we say hope is a settled confidence in a certain future, it means that we can laugh in the face of our circumstances because our eternity is secure. We will navigate pain in this life. There will be things that will be very difficult. Maybe you're dealing with some very hard things right now. Maybe it's a terminal illness. Maybe it's a friend or a lost one. Maybe there's a situation going on in your family that is just so heavy for you. And you don't know what to do. Jesus is saying, I've turned the light on. And I want you to be able to see what I see. Your eternity is secure. The sting of death has been removed. You have been transferred from death into life and seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Meaning that there's nothing right now in your life. Nothing right now in your life can defeat you. Nothing right now in your life is going to be too hard for you. Because he says, I'm with you, the light of the world. I'm going to show you every place to go. This confidence that we can laugh at our circumstances, very difficult things. Our culture so desperately needs hope today. Because there's some heavy things that exist in our society. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of things. And there's so much disagreement. And the only way that we're going to get truth is not grasping in the dark. It's letting the light of Jesus come shining into the middle of that darkness. And when the light comes in, the darkness flees. Then this hope that people are longing for is that Jesus has an eternity for you. We get to spend life with him. We get to do life constantly with him. This present reality we have. Hope is believing that God will intervene at every moment. God will show up in every moment. This is such a misunderstood concept in our world today, because we just have this idea of hope. I just have hope. Hope in what? That Jesus has saved me, is saving me, and ultimately will save me. That he will show up in the middle of this circumstance. He will show me what to do in this job situation. He will give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. My eyes have been opened up. I have illumination. I have light. I don't have to walk in darkness anymore. When you function with that knowledge, when you function with that confidence, it changes the way you act. But what it must require us to do is to slow down and stop and go, Jesus, what are you doing here? But the danger is we've created well-worn paths of walking in the dark and just going through the motions, as opposed to just simply stop and saying, hold on. What do you want to do? How would you have me walk? What do you want to say in the middle of this moment? Romans 8:28 says something powerful. I love the verse. And I think it's so right today. I don't think we have this up on the screen. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. God causes everything, not a little thing, not some things. It says he causes everything to work towards the good, towards you, meaning there is goodness right now working on your behalf in the middle of your situation. I'm not trying to bring Stevie Wonder into it, but it's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered, it's yours. It's already on the way. Like, it's coming right now. When we have this confidence that our hope is secure in the future, but our hope is secure in the present, it means that we have this faith that at any moment, God is bringing goodness into the middle of the pain. Anytime we encounter darkness or confusion or doubt, we can simply stop and say, Jesus, you have illuminated my heart. Show up in the middle of this situation. That we can overcome whatever is coming against us because goodness is working, meaning power is working towards me in all things. There's one other facet of hope and grace that I have to speak to before we kind of close today. We're going to finish today as we come to the table of the Lord and partake of communion. There's the concept of a champion in the Bible. And we've seen it. Whether it's, you know, David and he's the champion that, you know, defeats Goliath, or there's other champions. But the idea of that champion means that God actually, he alone is the champion. Right now, you have someone who is bigger and stronger. Anybody, like whenever you're like a kid, if you got like placed on the team with the biggest and strongest kid, how'd it make you feel? Right? You're like, winning, I'm about ready to win. Where'd that come from? You're like, wait. Everyone loves the idea of someone who is fighting for them. Someone who is stronger. Every kid, my dad can beat up your dad. There is this confidence we have that God is strong, or that we want the idea of the smartest person. When you get placed in science and someone in your science project, you get placed with the smartest person in the room. You're like, yes, yes. Why do we feel that way? There's the concept of a champion, meaning it's found in the grace of God. The idea is that God's power, he is your champion. He is working on your behalf and defeating anything that would come against you in every circumstance. In any area of confusion, he is stronger. He's the strongest in the room. I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. I have the smartest person in the room. It's the Spirit of the living God living inside of me. If you're looking into your future and you're going, this one seems too tough, this cancer is difficult, you have a champion working on your behalf. And your eternity, although the pain of present is real. There is a future reality that we are secure because the sting of death has been removed and we get seated with Christ and our eternity is set with Him. We can laugh in the middle of those circumstances and the middle of painful things because we have a God who is fighting for us, who is willing to strike down anything that comes against us. In any area where we're walking into and we don't know what to do, He's willing to flip on the light switch so that we can see if we'll simply stop and look to Him. Where today in your life do you need hope? What's going on in the middle of your situation where you go, I may not know what to do with this situation. I may not know what to do with this job. I may not know what to do with this friendship. Let me give you confidence to finish that sentence. You may say today, I don't know what to do with this situation, but I do know Him. I may not know what to do with my kids in this situation, but I know that He knows. Maybe you felt a tension, but I don't know what to do because of the friendships in my life or this hard situation I'm navigating. Jesus is willing to bring hope in the middle of your story. He'll give you, it says, a spirit of wisdom and revelation if we'll stop. I think that's what we're going to do this morning. I think we just need to stop for a moment. I think we need to just, could we just close our eyes for a second? Let's just allow ourselves to be still for a moment. And I know this is a bit personal and I'm not trying to make it too heavy, but I believe right now that the Spirit of the living God wants to show up in the middle of your story. Where are you tempted today to put your hope in the wrong thing? Where are we today not trusting in the hope that's found in Jesus? Have we put our trust in the wrong thing? I would ask you today, just where you are, just say these words even. You can say, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Show up in my story. Where's the pain that's going on? And hope deferred has made your heart grow sick. You felt like you've been wandering in the dark. I pray right now that the light of Christ would come crashing into the middle of the darkness. Where is there despair and discouragement? Where you've hoped that you would see breakthrough in this, and you've kind of maybe fallen into a place that you don't think you're ever going to get over it. You're never going to get past this thing. Jesus, we pray right now, the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that we would know You and that we would see right now this hope of a calling, that You would show up in the middle of our story, and that You would bring light, You would bring breakthrough. I pray this morning that You would give us this new heart and this new hope today. Could we just be still for a moment before the Lord? Let's just be quiet before Him. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit, not my words, just to begin to speak and to let hope rise in your heart. Any area that you can say, Jesus, show up. Show up. And I believe He can. Now, before we close, there could be some in here that are hearing this and they're going, yeah, this is okay. I get it. Like, I don't really even think about hope, and I don't know on earth what that ever feels like. I feel like I've never had hope in my life. I feel like I have been wandering in the dark. I don't feel like I believe that God wants to show up in the middle of my moments. I don't believe that my eternity is secure. I'm dominated, I feel like, by fear and anxiety. And I feel like my heart is not only not full of light, I feel like I'm just grasping. I believe Jesus wants to come into your life today. He wants to show up in your life. He not only wants to make your eternity and future secure in Him, because of the great love with God loved us, He sent His Son, right, to come and die for us so that we could be restored to Him. Let's just be still here, that we could come before Him. But He wants to speak to the areas right now where some have felt like you've been struggling, you've been walking in the dark, and you simply are going, Jesus, I've heard this story and I know of it, but I've never surrendered. I've never put my hope. I've never put my faith. I've never put my complete confidence in you. I've hoped in my hands. I haven't hoped in what you're doing. I've hoped in what I can do. But today, maybe you're actually saying, yeah, I need something different here, and this is not working for me, and I do believe that God not only has loved me, but that he's come for me. How do I do this? It means that we put our trust in him. That's how we put our hope in something. It's just simply saying, Jesus, I let go. I surrender. I turn from living the life the way that I've been living, and I turn towards you, and I say, let light come shining into the middle of my heart. And I want to pray with you in a moment that Jesus will show up in your story and that he's going to come in and he is going to be the one not just to take you into your future, but he wants to walk with you. He wants to restore you into relationship. He wants you to be able to lean on him in everything and that any situation to say, God, what do you want to do here? Jesus, what do you want? And he's going to show you how to live the life he has called you to live. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment, if you're going, I want to get in on this. I want to put my complete faith and my hope in Jesus. And I need that light. I need my eyes of my heart to be opened. I'm done living the way I've lived. And I need Christ in my life. With no one looking, I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm just going to simply have you raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you. And I believe that Christ is supernaturally going to come in. If you're going, I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus. Just slip your hand up at the ear real quick and I'm going to pray with you. It's all right. I see hands all over the place. It's all right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put your hands down. Just pray this along with me. Jesus, I thank you that you came for me. I thank you that you died for me. I right now turn from walking in the darkness. Turn from walking in this confusion. Turn from grasping and groping. I simply turn towards you. I put my hope in you, Jesus. I say, come into my life. Awaken my heart. Give me this old heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Show me the way that you're calling me to live. I surrender my life to you and I pray that you would supernaturally come in. Make me alive. Turn the light on so that I can see what you see. I can love what you love. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you rose again, proving there's life after death and that I can be with you. Come into my life. In your name I pray. Amen. Ushers, would you make your way down? We're going to respond with communion. And I know everyone probably has received the bread and the cup. If you haven't yet, if you just really quickly raise your hand, we'll get one of those to you if you haven't had, if you missed that whenever you came in. As we close today, we're going to close with a time as we respond, and then we're going to finish with our giving and worship, but I want to emphasize something of this bread and cup that you hold. You want to know a representation of the hope we have? It's sitting in your hands. Jesus said, as often as you take of this bread and drink of this cup, do this in remembrance of me. Remind yourself that not only that it was his body broken and bruised for you so that we could be made whole. Remind us that as we take of the cup, that it's his blood that covers us, that forgives us of sins, that gives us seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that we're his. But I just got to preach this last part to you. We need to be reminded today that our hope in Jesus is not just for our future. It means today, God wants to break in. Let this be a reminder. As we do this, he says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So I want you to grab the bread in your hand. Jesus, we respond today. We thank you that you are our hope. We thank you, Jesus, that this bread represents your body that was broken for us so that we could be made whole. That although we've navigated pain, that you took on pain. You took on our burdens. You took on the cross. And it says that by the stripes that you bore upon your back, that we actually can receive healing. We do this as a remembrance today. We thank you, Jesus, for new life. We thank you, Jesus, for new hope. We thank you, Jesus, that in you, our future is secure. And we thank you for the bread, for your body. And as we take it today, we do this to celebrate not only the death that you died, but the life that now you live, and that you overcame the power of the grave. Therefore, we may be able to overcome death and its sting as well. Let's partake of the bread. Fathers, we come with this cup. We take a moment. Any doubt, any confusion, we simply bring it to you. We ask you, God, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Today, we want to be reminded what it means that this blood has forgiven us as we've walked out in dark things, and that this blood is a reminder. This cup represents the blood of Jesus, that it was shed for us to forgive us. But it also is the cup of a new covenant. It says that now we're in you, that now our life is characterized by grace. Our life is characterized by hope. Our life is characterized by love, that you want to break in at any moment. So as we partake this morning of the table of the Lord, we do this in remembrance, meaning that you have already conquered death, meaning you are able to conquer anything that comes against us right now. You are the champion. You conquered the grave, and that you are alive forevermore. We do this in celebration of you. Let's partake of this. Would you stand today as we come to a close? First things, if you gave your life to Christ today, we want to help you with your next steps. We just want to help you take those next steps. In a moment, our ushers are going to respond, but there was a card that you were given in that worship guide when you walked in. If you would take a moment, fill that out, and there's a place for you to check that off. Out actually in our foyer, we want to connect with you. We want to give you a gift. And we want to just simply help you begin to walk out this life in Jesus. We don't want to try to give you lots of stuff, and we're not trying to show up at your house and be there and be like, hey, if you want us to, we will. That's fine. But we want to help you on this journey in Jesus, that you would know the hope of the calling of which God has called you to. We want to walk out that life for the rest of us. If you're going, man, I'm so thankful for what God did today. Maybe there was a renewing in my heart, or maybe just today I feel like God is restoring some things that I've allowed some pain, or I've allowed some confusion. I have not thought about the hope that's in Jesus in a long time, and maybe I've allowed myself to come into the dark, and that God brought light back into your life today. As we close today, could we celebrate a God that works, that takes us out of the darkness into his light? So if you are new, we're going to ask you, we'd love for you to join us for Grow Track. It's going to be after. It's going to be right at the end of our service. And we're going to have our ushers go ahead and prepare your giving. There's simple ways that you can give here. It's really pretty easy. The reason why we give is we give because God gave everything to us. We believe that generous living results in generous giving. And I just want to tell you how thankful we are that what we do in our finances is we just simply submit those back to God, and we give that back in and saying, God, we trust you even with our finances. So ushers, go ahead and respond. As we close today, I want to pray over that and pray over as we finish out in worship. Father, we thank you that it's a joy to be able to give because of what you've given to us. We thank you, Jesus, that there is hope and life found in you. We thank you, Jesus, that we have light and we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We thank you, Jesus, that in any situation, you're able to show up when we simply ask you to. And we ask you to do that right now. And we proclaim that it's you, Jesus, who our hope is firmly set in. And we thank you for this day. In your mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's respond as we close, and then we'll finish out and dismiss you guys. Amen.